Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, the audio home for Resurrection Lutheran Church of Maumee, Ohio. You've got your daily Bible reading for November 9th, looking at John chapter 20, the resurrection. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she left and ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb," she told them, "and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Bending over, he saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was following him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there. The cloth that had been on Jesus' head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. Then the other disciple who arrived at the tomb first also entered. He saw and believed. They still did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside facing the tomb weeping. As she wept, she bent over looking into the tomb. She saw two angels in white clothes sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She told them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." After she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you carried him off, tell me where you laid him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and replied in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus told her, "Do not continue to cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She also told them the things he had said to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together behind locked doors because of their fear of the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me, I am also sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. Whenever you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." But Thomas, one of the 12, the one called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." After 8 days, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. Do not continue to doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, did many other miraculous signs that are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of our God. Early on that first day of the week. And with that note, the chapter just launches off to the races because Jesus is alive. The women go to the tomb early in the morning to prepare the body and do a proper job of burial, and they know that it has to be done soon before decomposition sets in. And they're pious women who believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and they want to do right by him. And so they go to the tomb early. And John chapter 20 here, in John's Gospel, we zoom in especially on Mary Magdalene. And if you put the four Gospels together, you'll get the full picture. But it's kind of like two people who go to the same baseball game, or three people even. You would get three different accounts that focus on three different elements. And the same thing here. When we have the four Gospels, we've got four different accounts that focus on different elements of the main account that happened that day. And so from the other Gospels, you could imagine these women are going toward the tomb, and they're wondering who's going to roll the stone away. And then when they get inside of the tomb, a couple of the ladies go on in and investigate. But just as they had gotten over the crest of the hill, you could probably imagine that Mary Magdalene, in verse 1 and 2, Mary Magdalene saw that the stone was rolled away and just stopped in her tracks and turned around to run to go find Simon Peter and John. And that's what we have here. The other ladies had gone and investigated and met the angels at that time, and then they had gone away and didn't run into Simon Peter and John and Mary Magdalene. So then John and Simon Peter and Mary Magdalene all go back to the tomb. John gets there first and doesn't go in. Peter gets there second, and as is kind of his personality trait, he just goes right on in, you know, no reason. He's got to be there and checks it out. And then Mary Magdalene follows along behind. She's ready to run back up into Jerusalem, maybe up to the upper room, we could surmise. It's quite possible. And now she runs back to the tomb, and she's hastening, and she's worked up, but she doesn't get there as soon as Simon Peter and John do. So verse 6. Simon Peter arrives and goes in the tomb. Verse 7, the cloth that had been on Jesus' head was lying with linen cloths, or was not lying with linen cloths, but was folded up separately by itself. Good comment on this one. It makes the rounds, especially on email, back when email was our primary thing to do with the internet, and I'm sure you'll see it on other social media, this idea that the cloth being folded up refers to the Jewish master of a banquet folding up his napkin and placing it next to his plate to demonstrate that he's going to be coming back. And the author of this terrible piece of non-historical knowledge writes, the author says, well, that's why Jesus folded up the napkin, to prove that he was coming back. Absolutely not. The reason Jesus folded this up was, well, maybe because Mary had taught him to make his bed as a kid, but also to demonstrate that it wasn't grave robbers who came in the middle of the night and hustled out with the body. It wasn't grave robbers. It was the resurrection. And the peaceful, almost serene scene that we have here at the resurrection tomb is proof. Not that, you know, pieces of linen cloth and spices are strewn about as though grave robbers hustled in the middle of the night and absconded with the body. What we have here is the linen cloths all just lying there, and the face cloth. Jesus opens his eyes and takes it off his face and folds it up and walks on out. Well, he doesn't walk on out, because when the angel, very early in the morning, had rolled away the stone, the tomb was already empty, and the angel was just showing that the tomb was empty. So then the day for Jesus just keeps getting busier. He appears to some and then the others, and if you overlay the four gospel accounts, you can come up with a pretty rough, pretty decent timeline of how and when everything happened. And Jesus goes about demonstrating that he is alive, demonstrating that he is literally, physically, actually risen from the dead. You could imagine, you just got to picture this for one more. You have to imagine Jesus lying there, and his soul returns to this body. And God had preserved this body from decay. The psalm had written, "You will not let your Holy One see decay." So God had preserved this body from decay in the tomb. And then the blood starts recirculating. The color returns to the cheeks. The eyes pop open, and Jesus unwraps all the grave clothes and gets up to stand in that cramped little tomb. And the very first thing that he does as he's standing there, he thinks of you. He pumps his fist. Yes, I did it. And then, obviously, we've got the descent into hell. And then the resurrection appearances to the disciples. But just that moment of yes, Jesus has won. Jesus has risen from the dead, which guarantees your forgiveness, which guarantees that death now will only be temporary, and guarantees that Jesus has won. And they can't rebury Jesus. Your King reigns with all things under his feet, and he reigns for your good and mine, and for the good of his church. So keep that in mind today, as you go about your day, that your Jesus has risen from the dead, and this changes everything. Instead of hopelessness, you've got hope and a future. Instead of confusion, you've got clarity. Instead of guilt, you've got joy. Instead of worry and wondering, you've got certainty. Jesus has won, and they can't rebury him. You can find us Sunday mornings at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. And if you could check out the show notes, I'm taking submissions for a Q&A episode that will be running in a few weeks. Just check out email or you can text me questions to the phone number listed there. You can also follow us on Instagram at Raised with Jesus. God bless your day.